Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. Our caller number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, that puts you in queue to talk to Michael. We welcome you to the show. Today is the third day of our Lent, which Michael will talk a little more about. We're doing 40 days of five worksheet today. And today is Memorial Day celebration 271. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, sweetie. We're delighted to be here with you today, folks, and we welcome you to the show. We welcome you to our world, and it's a delight to share the planet with you, and we're here to support everyone in learning the ancient internal Aramaic process of forgiveness, not the great kind that keeps us in our trauma and our drama and our pain, that is, letting other people off the hook for what's going on inside of us, but rather, how do you go in and remove the capacity to produce any form of hostility or fear? That tool is called forgiveness. And when Jeannie mentions Memorial Day, what she's talking about is the fact that if you look at the real cause of war on planet Earth, it's because people deny ownership of what's going on inside of them and have somebody else to blame and think, well, if I just can get rid of them, then I won't have to feel this anymore. Of course, that doesn't change what one's feeling inside themselves. When one lets somebody else off the hook for what's going on inside, it doesn't change what's happening inside themselves. The actual Aramaic tool changes the internal dynamics that produce pain and fear and suffering. So we're here to put an end to suffering. When you put an end to suffering, you put an end to war. Wouldn't that be cool? And you can be part of that process. How does it happen? Well, you apply the tool of forgiveness. You remove the reasons why you would go into any kind of personal war, and when we hit critical mass of enough people doing that, we're going to change the dynamic of war. So we honor those who've been forced to engage in that insanity, and we're here to support a shift and a change happening. So we're glad you're with us. If you're not familiar with the forgiveness conversation, then we invite you to jump on our website, whyagain.com. That's whyagain.com. On the right-hand side, there's a link that says Download Worksheets. And if you click the first five links, you'll have the whole story. Download those five links. You will know exactly how to remove all hostility, fear, pain, and suffering from your physiology. It's a process we invite you to engage in. So we're delighted you're with us. And, yes, we're on day three of five worksheets a day. It seems like most of the radio community and just about everybody that I've spoken to has just jumped on board and said, yay, I'm ready to do five a day for 40 days for Lent. And so leading to a new level of awakening in each person's life. And so with this whole community of support, we are so appreciative. There's so many people I've been hearing from. I just got a note from a young lady who's coming to our intensive here in April in Florida, our 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive. And yesterday's show was a big opening for her. And that's what we're here to create every day is new levels of opening. And when you start recognizing that what you're doing is the work of 1,000 generations, takes a little time, but oh, what a reward it is. What a reward. So our call-in number is 646-200-4169. if you're interested in our conversation on forgiveness, please pick up the phone, call us, push one, and that'll put you in queue to have a personal conversation with Jeannie and I. Jeannie, David with us, Dr. Tim with us today.
David is with us. Tim's not on yet.
Okay. Oh, welcome, David.
Thank you, Michael. Hello, Jeannie. Glad to hear from you guys. All is well here at Heartland. Beautiful, gorgeous day. A little brisk, a little cool in the low 40s, and just a fabulous time. Just looking forward to the intensives that are coming up and getting prepared for them. Nice to hear so many people are involved and doing their work.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that that intensive filled up so fast that we've actually set a second one up. So we're actually going to do back-to-back nine-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensives in Palm Coast, Florida in April. Should be an absolutely awesome time of year. If you're up there in that cold, icy, snowy stuff, the first intensive, which is the 6th to the 14th of April, is full, but the 14th through the 22nd is still space. It should be an absolutely beautiful time. We've got this big house right on the intercoastal waterway with the dock. It should be an awesome, awesome time and energy. So if you want to come and join us, that workshop is about half full already, so I anticipate very shortly it's going to be filled up. But if you're ready to get out of the Northlands or you're ready to do some deep work, come and join us. And tonight we're in Ocala doing our last workshop in a six-workshop series, a free workshop series at Unity of Ocala. We'll complete that tonight, 6:30 to 9. Come and join us. And then tomorrow we'll be doing Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. And then heading on Sunday morning, we'll take a drive over to Holiday, Florida, where we'll be speaking at New Beginning Oneness Center in Holiday and doing 7 days of workshops there. So all kinds of awesome things are happening. David, you have not really shared much about what's been happening with the work in terms of your family lately, and I don't know if it's appropriate to share, but if it is, I'd certainly open the space. You've certainly created some awesome breakthroughs by your ongoing continuous work of healing yourself and bringing that new level of energy within your family system. Is there anything to share there?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. First, my thought around during the 5 days or 40 days for those that are involved in doing it, to invite you to open the space that what a way to follow up with the 40 days or the, at least the, and even the completion of the 40 days by participating in the nine-day intensives that are going to be coming up in next month for with that energy and that creative flow of our true creative intelligence, then as you talk about, Michael, an energy in motion tends to stay in motion unless it's acted on from an outside force, then just in the flow of that, of that work and the collection of energy of other people will really open up the space, I believe, for some new insights, tapping into some new levels of understanding. And tying that into your question to me and then reflecting back over the last several months for some of the listening audience, then last September 18th, within one of my sons, who's 36 years old, made his transition unexpectedly. And 2 years prior to that, then I had my oldest son, who was 39 years old, also made his transaction. I have two other sons that are 32 and 30 respectively, and or will be next month. And there's been a lot of healing opportunities to come along with these deaths occurring, and to establish a rapport and a connection with the whole family as a unit, being that I also have a grandson, two grandsons, for, actually from each one of my older sons. And I've been able to establish, I just returned from a visit there in Louisville, Kentucky. I've just been able to reestablish communication with my sons and with my grandsons. And that's really as a result of continuously staying focused and conscious of being responsible for my thoughts, my words, my actions, and the realities that I hold within my mind in order to create an environment and a space for others to connect with that. One of the things that I think that has come from the work that I've been focused on doing is that it has created the space for others to do their healing work even without conversation around it. And what I mean by that is that one of my sons, it's been several years since we've really been in communication with each other. And prior to 5 years ago, we were communicating on a regular basis, every week to 2 weeks. And there was something that went on. I have no idea what it was, that severed that communication. And through these events that have happened over the last couple of years, we now have reestablished that communication. And the most interesting and unique way of us connecting, it's as though right now that nothing happened in the several years that we were out of communication. We have picked our relationship up as to where that it was at that particular time. And without communicating about what happened or why or getting into any explanation of it, and I attribute that to staying focused and coming from a being of truth, versus getting into the stories and the dramas and the traumas and the what ifs and this is what happened and this is what we need to do. There was none of that. It was just really communicating and tapping into that true essence, our true creative essence, and communicating from that level. And whenever there's communication from that level, well, then the words and explanations and all that are irrelevant, for that's just coming from carbon-based memory and from the dissociated mind. So with all that, it's wonderful to be in communication with them coming from that place, and I think that that's just a result of the healing, the consistent healing work and being observant and being responsible for mine. Realities, being responsible for my feelings, my thoughts, and actions. And so I still recognize that there's a lot of work to be done, and I feel that I'm in a space of allowing those things to unfold and to heal, and stepping back and allow that true creative higher intelligence to guide and to do the healing. And, you know, my part is to do my work. There was a little quote that I had the thought about this morning in something that I was reading, and everyone has heard the words to this effect, you know, peace begins with me. It always begins with me. And as I'm doing my work, then it just resonates for other, you know, for the space of other ones. the Course in Miracles piece that I was reading this morning again is that, you know, if someone is not at peace with me, I have work to do. And the only thing that I give up to be in control is my ability to create. And when I let go and hold that peace within myself, then things just unfold and happen. So that's where I'm at.
Well, we certainly hold the space and acknowledge the way that you've hung in and moved forward and done your work. And certainly it's producing results. So we're delighted to be there to support you. Jeannie, do we see Dr. Tim at all? Go ahead.
There's a statement that you make, Michael, and you and I have talked about this. You know, once that there's results that are created from this, what else is there to do? They're created one way or the other. So that's it.
Absolutely. Jeannie, have we seen anything of Dr. Tim yet?
Tim is on.
Oh, good. How are you today, sir? Do you have anything to share with us? Anything exciting happening in your world?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. And David, it's great to hear your voice and to get an update about reconnections that are happening in your family after all you guys have been through. Sending love and prayers your way. Things are just bopping along here. Lots of people to see, lots of people doing worksheets and staying up with the five a day. There's quite a bit of debate that goes on with people when they hear about the five a day, and some people have negative reactions and some have overwhelmed reactions and some are just thrilled and want to dive right in. So one thing I know about this work is that if it stirs stuff up and you have a way to understand how the system works and some tools for resolving what gets stirred up, it's a good thing to have stuff stirred up for you. So I think it's a good thing, especially within this group, that we've decided to, that you and whoever has decided to extend the invitation for five a day for 40 days, because for anybody who's willing to do the work, it'll stir stuff up, and that lets them release it. So so far, so good. One of the themes that has come up several times is people saying, I didn't get my five worksheets done until 3 in the morning, or I'm really upset with myself because I didn't get five worksheets done. And I have a slightly different take on that, and my take on it is I'm going to try and do five worksheets a day for 40 days. If I don't get five worksheets done every day for the next 40 days, there's two things I want to look at. One is I might have some issues that are preventing me from meeting that commitment, and I would maybe want to do some worksheets on it. The second thing is, if I only get 150 or 100 worksheets done in the next 40 days, I'm way ahead of the game, and I can try again next time. And I'm far better off if I don't beat myself up because I didn't reach the commitment mark. And then we all have to look at it from our own perspective, because it might be that I'm sabotaging myself from meeting that goal. It might be that I'm doing a lot of good work, and then the next time I end up making a commitment to do five a day for 40 days, I meet it and exceed it. So I would just like to put that out there for people. This is all about making your life lighter and brighter and more focused on the love energy that you are. It really shouldn't be a tool with which you use to beat yourself up. So that's my two cents for today.
Well, and my take on that would be the person who would go into beating themselves up because they didn't accomplish what they wanted to accomplish would be to start to look at their power person dynamics who used to beat up on them when they didn't accomplish the way the power person wanted them to. And it's an awesome opportunity to learn forgiveness. So there's my next worksheet. If I turn to beat myself up for some reason, then here's my chance to forgive the reality in my mind that prompts me to beat myself up. So next level of work, it's always, you know, it works in every direction.
Yeah, if you have the awareness of how the system works and the tools to apply to it, it's a fabulous thing.
Definitely, definitely. Well, Gina, do we have any callers or anything happening in the chat room? Of course, our calling number is 646-200-4169, and we'd be delighted to hear your voice if you have any thoughts for us, questions, answers, ideas.
Michael, did you get the email I sent about a YouTube of a naturopathic physician talking about the third largest cause of death in the U.S.?
Well, I haven't seen that in particular, but I know the third largest cause of death in the U.S., according to official medical statistics, is medicine. And actually, according to some researchers, it's actually number one. But is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, and he was giving a very nice talk on YouTube about the origins of the medical system from his understanding and the absolute lack of healing that comes from those treatments and how it's driven by medicine and money and politics. And it was just, he's very bright, and he's traveling and giving lectures on the topic, and I think it's a wonderful piece of understanding that he talked about how Rockefeller commissioned a study back in the early 1900s, and a man traveled around on horseback and carriage and train, and took him 5 years to visit all the medical schools, which at that point included chiropractic and naturopathic and osteopathic and medical, et cetera, and compiled a report. And then Rockefeller, and maybe it was Carnegie as well, they owned drug companies, and they decided that they would funnel millions of dollars into any schools that prescribed medicine, because they had owned drug companies that made medicines. And that was the origin of the medical system we have today. That grew into the American Medical Association and their enormous lobbying power. Simply because there was money there, and this was a good venue for them to sell their drugs. But any studies that have been done about the efficacy of the treatments clearly show that that's not healing that happens from those medical schools, and that at least as good, if not better, healing happens with chiropractic and osteopathic and naturopathic practices. But you aren't going to read that because there are millions of dollars being spent to suppress that. And even, I'm not sure he mentioned it, but somewhere in 1980, 85, somewhere in there, the American Medical Association was found guilty of slandering chiropractors and had to pay millions of dollars in fines because they had taken out massive ad campaigns to slander and libel the profession of chiropractic just to get them out of the scene. So it's a really interesting. Pardon me?
I say they can't stand the competition.
Yeah, and so it's just a really interesting set of lectures that's going around. I forget the gentleman's name, but I'll look it up and I'll email that to you as well.
Yeah, cool. I'll have to check in with it. Maybe we can get him on the show and say hello. That'd be cool. So, Gene, do we have anything happening in the chat room? Anybody with a question? Anybody calling in our calling line?
No, there's nothing going on right now. We might want to remind everybody that starting 1 week from today that we will be doing March Aramaic Fridays. Oh, we just had a hand go up in the switchboard.
Cool.
So starting next Friday, every Friday in March, we'll be doing Aramaic Fridays with Dale Hoffman from Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah, so our focus will be, if you want to look back in the archives, about two and a half weeks ago, Dale Hoffman was with us, and we had a really wonderful response to that. So Dale has agreed to come and do Aramaic Friday. So each Friday, our conversation will be dedicated to the Aramaic in the month of March. And if there's a strong enough pull, we'll maybe continue that as an ongoing feature. So that's what Dale and I will be talking about next Friday. And so we've got a caller. Let's say hello to our caller.
All right. And Sarah had wrote in the chat room that she's doing kind of her own, a little bit of changes to the worksheet and everything. She wanted to know if she could call in and ask some questions about it. Sarah, Michael
sure.
has not seen it yet, but you're more than welcome to call in and ask questions. And so our caller is area code 970. You're on the air.
Hey, Michael and Jeannie, it is Carrie in Colorado.
Welcome, young lady.
Thank you. I guess I'm looking for insights today on this ongoing work I'm doing with the blame responsibility dynamics in relationship. And
haven't finished with all of that yet?
I'm not finished with all of that yet. No. In fact, I think there's a lot more to go. But one of the things, go ahead, what are you going to say?
Oh, I'm just saying, welcome to the human race.
Yeah, thank you. I'll tell you what. I guess one of the questions I have is, what is a way to envision positivity as I'm doing this work? Because I realize I'm doing this whole re-education of my mind that, you know, probably I knew some little bits and pieces of, but not, of course, this whole process. And so I'm just wondering, what are some ways to envision positivity that are in alignment with this work as I'm doing the work?
Well, one of the things...
Maybe my old ways of envisioning positivity are maybe not totally appropriate, and I'd like to stay on the same track, but I'd like to understand how to, you know, be envisioning positivity with what's going on.
So one of the diseases that we humans suffer from is one that in my book I identify as premature positive thinking. You know, if you go to the ancient Aramaic, where they understood exactly how the physics of creation worked, they said, take care of the heart, for out of it are the issues in life. They didn't say, take care of the head, for out of it are the issues in life, the heart. And, you know, we haven't been able to, and maybe next Friday we'll get into this conversation a little bit with Dale and we'll investigate a little deeper, but we have not been able to translate this word heart in the Western world for almost 2,000 years, until just a few decades ago. And so now what we know is what they were saying was, take care what you deny and dissociate from. Take care what you hide from yourself. Take care what is in your unconscious mind or heart. So equivalent word, heart, unconscious. So they're saying you need to look at and deal with what's there. It is the foundation. Let's use a comparison of we're building a building. So I have a foundation that's set and ready for a really solid, rock-solid two-story building. And I say, you know, I've got a two-story building on there, and I'm a positive thinker. I'm going to build 10 stories on there. Man, it's going to be so great because I'll have 10 stories, and I'll be able to rent all these offices, and this is just going to be so cool. And I get up to about the fourth story, and the building falls over because the foundation can't handle it. The foundation isn't built to handle 10 stories. So if I'm a premature positive thinking builder, and on my two-story building or my two-story foundation, I try to build a 10-story building, I'm in deep trouble. This is the disease of premature positive thinking, that if my internal foundation, my heart, my unconscious, is set for negativity, I can be the most positive thinker in the world. And what that will tend to lead to, you know, as long as I've got a grip on what I'm doing, you know, I've got a good tight, I'm hanging on to this positivity, I can force things to be positive, and I'll probably end up being the type A personality. I'll have to be enforced all the time. So what we suggest is, rather than premature positive thinking, is that you recognize that if you've got a negative foundation, you do your work. You go in and you clean up the foundation, you shore it up, you build it, and once you've got a foundation that's ready for a 10-story building, awesome. Positive think your way to the stars. Build your 10-story building. If you want to go from a 10-story to a 100-story building, it's not going to do you one bit of good to be a positive thinker for that 100-story building until you've got a foundation that can handle a 100-story building. So what you want to do is make sure that you're working on the foundational work, and then what will happen is, your words, your thoughts, you know, if you look in the ancient Aramaic, where they understood how this whole system worked, they said, out of the abundance of your heart come your words. Now, some people try to put words in from their heads on top of what's in their hearts. And, for instance, I'll point out to somebody who says, you know, well, I just don't want to get into trouble here. I just don't want to cause any problems. So now what I know is that in that person's foundation is a reality about them causing problems. And so if they become a positive thinker, and they think a positive thinker is, you know, I'm not going to cause problems, I'm not going to cause problems, I'm not going to cause problems, it's out of their heart come the words about the problems. And so that points to the forgiveness work that needs to be done. Oftentimes people will say, Michael, I just didn't say that right. You know, I meant to say, it's like, no, your words came from the abundance of your heart. Your words are telling you precisely what's there. This is not about learning how to say it right. Many people say, well, just give me the right words to say, Michael. It's like, no, that's not what I want to do. What I want to do is support you by feeding back to you and supporting you in acknowledging and watching what your natural speech does. And if it points to negative foundation, there's your work. As opposed to, well, Michael, teach me the right words to use, and then everything will be okay. If I teach you the right words to use, and in your head you use all the right words, that doesn't change the foundation. Once you've gone in and cleaned out the hostility and fear-based foundation, which is 1,000 generations old, then your words will naturally be about what you're creating from your being. So it's not about learning how to say the right words or learning how to be positive. Once the foundation inside of you, in your genetics and in your physiology, is based on your true human life, and you know, as you've heard us say many times, if you want to know what a human life is, hold a newborn child. Once we've cleaned out everything that doesn't belong in the system, then we'll naturally be creators, we'll naturally be positive, we'll naturally build to the stars. Does that make sense for your question?
That makes a lot of sense, and I really appreciate the review on that, and it's always good to hear it again. And I guess along with that, what I'm looking for is maybe, and this will probably tell me where I need to do my work, as she says that, but to not get lost in hopelessness, you know, because there's so much there, you know, when you start delving into it that I'm sure, I know you know, that is, you know, I guess what would be a path of thinking in this work, or I guess I don't want to, well, if the mind has to go somewhere, you know, I'm going to go back and do my work, but what would be maybe a step in addition to that that can inspire me with hope, you know, with more than hope. And it's not that I don't have it, it's just that I know, you know, there's times it's really hard, you know, and it's
let's stop right there when you say, and it's hard. So when your words tell you that one of the realities in your unconscious, your dissociated mind, is that life is hard, relationships are hard, finances are hard, something's hard, then there's your next, now, watching your words, there's your next piece of work. Ah, I hold in my foundation that it's hard. Now, in my file on how things work, if I hold a reality that it's hard, and I, for instance, become a positive thinker, I affirm, it is easy, it is easy, it is easy, it is easy. What I resonate in that file is, it's hard, and I create it being hard again. When, you know, one of the tools that we teach in the workshop we'll actually do here tomorrow and in our intensives, Mind Shifters, is we look at, rather than affirmations, because if my affirmation resonates something I've dissociated from, I create out of my heart, out of my dissociated mind, what it is my affirmation resonates. So if I'm, let's say, for instance, I'm somebody who lives cancel of thought in a world where I'm broke all the time, and somebody says, well, why don't you just do affirmations on having lots of money? So when I go, I have lots of money, I resonate my file on money, and in my file on money is, there's never enough. And so I'll keep creating never enough. The more I affirm I've got lots of money, the more I set up the file, I've got not got enough. The Mind Shifter tool is a tool for opening that particular file on money. So instead of just saying, you know, I have enough, what I would offer to somebody is you use a mind shift. You turn that into a mind shifter if you recognize that one of the places you've got work to do is in the area of money. And so a money mind shifter that I give people oftentimes, and the way we suggest using a mind shifter is you take a piece of paper, you divide it in two. On the left-hand side of the page, you write the mind shifter, and on the right-hand side, you write everything that comes up in response to it. So somebody who's got a challenge with money, what you want to do is you want to bring that whole file on money to the forefront, dump it out on a piece of paper so you can see exactly where your work is. So the mind shifter I offer to people who have challenges with money is, I always earn twice as much as I can spend. Now, most people, the first response to that is, BS, who are you trying to kid? I've never been able to pay my bill. I don't have enough money. What do you think? I earn twice as much as I can spend. I can spend it all. And so what happens is, each time you write that, you resonate those brain cells, and out you dump that whole file. And when you start to see where the major blocks are in that file, that's where you do your forgiveness work. In the arena of relationships, let's say I recognize that all my life I've created relationships with drama and trauma in them, and rejection, let's say. So then my mind shifter around relationships would be, all of my relationships are gentle, loving, and nurturing, and always have been. So when I write that down, what's my mind say? BS, I've been nothing but abused in relationships. Are you crazy? Look at this. And so you write it, you write it, you write it, you write every response. And now all of a sudden, because the mind works by the law of resonance, you just dumped out on the page all of the stuff that you have in your heart, in your unconscious, about relationships. And so by using the mind shifter process rather than the affirmation process, you give yourself the opportunity to process that part of the mind. So we define a mind shifter as a tool, a thought, or around which your mind holds negative thoughts, and it's the opportunity to surface, process, and release, as opposed to how many people use affirmations, and that is, well, I'm going to pretend that something that is absolutely untrue is true, and then I'll get it. Well, you may be able to force it for a little while, but sooner or later, the unconscious, the dissociated mind, is going to produce its result, because out of your heart come the issues in your life. So if you recognize, say, for instance, a particular trauma in relationships, like, for instance, communication's really hard in relationships. So what I would do would be to create a mind shifter. I take a notebook, I draw a line down the center of the page, and on the left-hand side of the page, I'd write the mind shifter. Communication has always been easy and natural for me and my whole family system in relationship. Now, what does my mind say to that? I want to resonate everything in my heart about that issue. So when I write that down, the first thing my mind comes up with is, are you crazy? Well, that's never been true. Really, communication's always been tough. It's always destroyed all my relationships. I can remember mom and dad screaming and raging at each other because they couldn't communicate. And I can remember how my sister divorced her husband because they just never communicated. And you're crazy about this. And so I write out of things to write and write the mind shifter again. Communication has always been easy and natural in my relationships and in my family system. Well, get out of here. That's just – and so you dump the whole page out. And when you start looking at how, you know, maybe as a six-year-old child, you watch your older sister or husband fighting over communication and arguing and ultimately divorcing, there might be 77 times 70 worksheets. That little kid who watched and, gee, you know, dearly loved their sister's brother-in-law or their brother-in-law and watched him go away and had sadness and grief and pain and, you know, geez, relationship and communication is painful. So there's 77 times 70 worksheets. The kid who, you know, over money, you know, gee, the last time I saw my father was when he and mom had a big fight over money and he walked out the front door of the house and I never saw him again, never heard from him again. Wow, major piece of forgiveness work to do there. And so the mind shifter allows you rather than to be the positive thinker on top of the negative foundation, is to clean up, shore up, eradicate all negative thinking from the dissociated mind or from the heart. And then what do? You naturally speak positive words. You don't have to be a positive thinker because everything in your structure is consistent with your positive ability to create. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. So then, so if I do the mind shifter process with the issues that I'm sort of stuck on or feeling hopeless about or whatever, then how do I transfer that? Then do I start doing worksheets on all those things that come up on the other side of the page? Or how do I translate that work, use that as a stepping stone to more worksheets?
I'm not sure I quite understood your question,
well,
Carrie.
You're talking about the mind shifter process where you write down, like maybe I write down, you know, communication has always been easy and good for me in relationships. And so then on the opposite side of the page, I write all of the things that come up as, no, that's not true. You know, this is, here's all the other things I feel like I've had to deal with in my life. So then...
Yeah, you write the good, the bad, and the ugly. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever comes up as you're doing that mind shifter process.
Write it down.
Yeah.
And then how do I use that as a springboard to doing, would I use it as a springboard to doing more forgiveness worksheets?
So then when I get in touch, like, you know, the kid who worked with the mind shifter people, you know, I always earn twice as much as I can spend, and he touches into how dad walked out the front door. And he never saw him again, a big fight with mom over money. So he's now got a link with relationships and money. So he might create another mind shifter, or what I might offer him is another mind shifter that says, the more money I have, the better my relationships are. And or the less money I have, the better my relationships are. Whatever will resonate that file. And then as things pop, so he would do worksheets around his grief and his loss and his sadness over his loss of relationship with his dad. He'd do brilliant worksheets around his rage at mom because, you know, maybe he blamed mom for that fight. You know, mom was nagging dad, or dad was nagging mom. So he might do worksheets if dad was nagging mom around money. You know, why do you spend so much? You know, you're the reason this family's always broke. Then, you know, he'd start looking at in his six-year-old mind how he blamed dad for the fact that, you know, their family split and broke up. So he'd do some forgiveness work around that. You know, whatever pops, whatever shows as the issue, that's where you use one of the other tools to clean up that issue. So it might look like a worksheet. You know, it might look like, you know, every time that that my parents had a conversation about money, there was always rage. So that might be one of the things that comes up for him. So then what I might do in that situation, if I see that, geez, man, most of the communications in my relationships around money have been filled with rage. Wow, I didn't realize why that happened. So what am I going to do? Oh, man, let me go back and listen to that Healing Through Relationships DVD. Yeah, that's right, that commitment. Okay, so now I'm going to go to my spouse and say, you know, honey, I noticed that almost all of our communication around money has been angry communication. So here's my commitment to you. When we're talking about money, I promise to trust you enough to tell you the truth, to be true to you, and treat you lovingly, gently, and with respect in my thoughts, my words, and my actions, whether I'm in your presence or not. In every interaction, I'm going to surrender to love, our true nature, and recognize that my connection to love and my relationship with you is more important than this money issue. So I'd use the tool from the Healing Through Relationships workshop. If I were seeing that codependent game where I'm always blaming my partner for, you know, why communication doesn't work, then I'd use the codependent worksheet and look at, well, what's my advice to them? Well, you know, if whenever money issues come up, if you just, you know, smarten up and think right and communicate more gently, notice the tone of voice that goes with that instruction to my partner, then what am I going to do? I'm going to turn around and follow my own advice. Oh, I need to smarten up and I need to communicate more gently around money. So I could take every tool that's taught in this work. I could take every DVD, look at the tool, and apply it in that situation. I could take Mind Goal Management Sheet, and I could start to frame and set goals for gentle communication around relationships. I could take the Communication, Did You Hear What I Think I Said workshop DVD, study that, look at the 7 steps of responsibility communication, and then do responsibility communication around money. So every tool, and the whole idea of the mind shifter is to uncover the dissociated and the hidden parts of the mind so that I get a chance to clean it up. And I might take, in terms of, again, responsibility communication, and turn to my partner and say, you know, I realize that, you know, when I look back, I have a whole ton of reasons for having anger about money. You know, it destroyed my relationships and my family. It destroyed my mother and father's marriage. You know, I haven't seen my father in 35 years. I don't know if he's dead or alive. And so I realized that, man, I've got a lot of energy and a lot of issues around money. Sweetheart, I really need some support to break this down and to forgive this and to get through this so that we can have a sane financial life. I realize that I've created a lot of insanity in our relationship around money. Would you support me in that? So, you know, so you could take virtually every tool that we teach and utilize it to work through what your mind shifter shows you.
Wow, that is awesome. That is really a great strategy, and it makes so much sense. And as you're talking, I could see the difference in my brain cells from when you and I first started talking about this 6 months ago or whatever. I can see my capacity to even comprehend what you're saying better than I could before. So that's really exciting.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, we're glad to be on the team, and we love you calling in and offering your studied questions. For those who don't know who we're talking to, we're talking to Carrie, who's the author of a book on super immunity, and you can find her book at, what's your website, Carrie? C-A-R-Y?
Yep, C-A-R-Y, and the last name is Ellis, ELLIS.com, and the book is for sale on Amazon. It's called Super Immunity Secrets, and really appreciate this work so much, Michael. And I'm in the middle of putting another book out, too, which I'm really excited about. So it'll actually include some of this concept in it. And one more really quick question. So since I've been apart from this person and we're basically, you know, on our own paths in life, would there be any value in trying to contact that person and saying, would you like to work through some of this stuff with me?
Well, you know, one of the ideas in the healing through relationship, and it's whether relationships are starting in the middle or ending or ended, you know, the person who, one of the things we point out in our Healing Through Relationships DVD, our workshop is, and we're doing that workshop next week. For anybody who's listening, we'll be in Holiday, Florida. That'll be part of the sessions that we'll do in Holiday next week. But in that context, I recognize that I have issues, and, you know, one of the things we point out is that relationships based in matching bags of garbage, that is through the law of resonance, the world calls love relationships. And so if I'm in a space where I can make connection with that person who can bring up my rage, my grief, my pain, my fear, they can be awesome support, and vice versa, if there's a space to open that and to look at those issues. So absolutely. Now, you know, they may just, you know, say, hey, I'm delighted that you're in pain. Stay there. And that would be their hostility and their issue. And so the comeback might be, you know, it sounds like there's a lot of hostility in your voice that you would say those things to me who once you proclaimed to love. So would you like some support in healing that hostility? And by the way, when I hear what I perceive to be the hostility in your voice, that just brings up such a depth of fear, and I really need some support. Would you be willing to support me in healing this fear? You know, it's like, everything and anything that can bring up anything out of your physiology that's less than love is saying that there's something in your physiology that, you know, it could be an issue that's literally has not surfaced in 10 generations. It's 10 generations old. And here it is. And when the circumstance presents itself, up comes that 10-generational pain, the response that, you know, 10 generations ago they had was rage and murder. You know, this is what leads people to murder. And so to allow those things to come forward and to walk through them, to softly, gently open the space for healing. So, yes, absolutely.
That's awesome, Michael. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that input. And I guess just onward and forward here.
All right. Well, take care. Say hi to the dog, Boris. And Jeannie tells me we've got another caller, so we're going to move to the next caller. Blessings, and keep calling in. Carrie, we love your questions. Jeannie.
We've got actually three more callers on the line, but I don't think we're going to have time to get to them because we're down to 8 minutes. The next caller is 517. You're on the air.
517.
Did I get the mute button?
517.
Yes. It's Rex.
Hey, Rex.
Thank you. Yes.
Hey.
I had something come up here and taking care of some business. I wasn't able to hear the first part of the show, which I, you know, am picking up from about 25 after. Real quick, because I don't need to take long, I just wanted to mention I have been observing in working with people and also especially in myself and my immediate family of the generational realities and the piece on hopelessness, what I observed, Michael, and you covered it, but I still wanted to make a brief comment, is that when we start moving into the deeper levels of generational realities, there'll be a feeling. I was downstairs and running upstairs here. Let me get my breath. There is a feeling that surfaces within that I'm observing, and it is hopelessness. And the reason I think is kind of what I'm seeing is the hopelessness is triggered along with the generational reality because we have difficulty relating to it on a personal level. And so what I've been working with, by your suggestion, is going a lot of work with the generations and actually going into, well, what did dad do with his dad? And what did his dad do with his dad? And as I started opening this stuff up, it's tremendous how much shift happens. The catch in it is I think that people get caught in their experience of what they're having, and they start doing, well, let's say Bob is the cause. You know, I don't have a Bob right now that I'm triggered by, but if Bob's my trigger, I get caught in thinking it's Bob, and I work through it, and I feel better. I do a worksheet or two on it, and then I spin around that a little while, and then I might move over to Mary, which is in my immediate experience, and it's Mary, and then I might even move to myself, but I'm still staying within that realm and not diving underneath into what's ready to surface as a cause. And I just wanted to mention that because that seems to be a catch because within that, I have a person that did almost 20 worksheets in a night and still felt hopeless. And what I encourage them to do is...
You're probably dealing with somebody with 100 generations of hopelessness under the surface.
Exactly, exactly.
And that's all the time.
Yes, and that's what I wanted to comment on. Say again?
I say that's oftentimes a childhood experience when the child tries to fix something that they have no concept of how to deal with, and they develop this hopelessness, and the goal is the key way into that part of the mind. So certainly worksheets on hopelessness becomes the object of the moment. So
yes, and it's so important.
Yes, sir.
So awesome. You have other callers, so I'm going to get off here and let them speak and ask their questions. But thank you and appreciate
it. Thanks, Rex. Blessings.
You bet.
Jean?
Our next caller is a Skype caller. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Oh, hi. This is Deborah. I'm in Flagler Beach, Florida.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi. Hi. I wondered if you'd know it was Skype or just some weird number. I just had a quick question for you, Michael. I'm deeply involved with the Course in Miracles.
Right.
And I saw on your website that you have a DVD called The New Beginning, one of Course in Miracles' most powerful lessons. And I just, it comes to me every day. And I was just wondering, could you just tell me just real briefly anything about it?
Well, I actually have two different DVDs on A Course in Miracles, and one of my favorite lessons is that one that is entitled The New Beginning, and it covers that lesson from the point of view of this work. So if you look in the book, there's a lesson called The New Beginning.
Yeah.
Actually, a more powerful piece might be, if you're looking at ordering one of my Course in Miracles items, is Introduction Advanced Understanding of A Course in Miracles. And the Course, for most people, is such a huge intellectual bite that most people can't chew it. One guy who did that lesson, and in that lesson I synthesized about 70 different lessons from the Course, one individual said that he realized the Course was like a 5 billion piece jigsaw puzzle, and nobody had the box top. And after he heard that lesson, he had the box top. He could see where all the pieces fit and how to put it to more powerful use and work. So that Introduction Advanced to Understanding the Course in Miracles, if you're thinking about ordering something, might be the starting point to enhance your practice of the Course.
Okay, the starting point. Okay, yeah, I mean, I'm very much into the Course, you know, and have been for a number of years, and I'm listening to, you're new to me, and but I'm listening to some of the way you're talking about forgiveness, and there's some kind of clarity that I really feel, and it's so beautiful, and so I am very much within the Course system, because it just speaks to me, and so deeply, and
Course.
So,
Course is awesome.
It is.
And many people working with the Course are studying the Course, which I advise strongly against, because if you're studying the Course, by its own admission, the Course says the truth can't be spoken in words. And the Course ultimately says throw this book away. The Course isn't about learning the Course. The Course is about learning forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I've observed over the years many people who are working with the Course are still talking about how they forgave them or they forgave themselves, which has nothing to do with forgiveness. That's a pardoning act. And there are only two places on the planet where I've seen an exact and specific definition of forgiveness. And that one of them is the ancient Aramaic teachings of Yeshua. The other one is A Course in Miracles. The definition is precise. And in that lesson on the New Beginning, I go into the Course definition of forgiveness and how to do it. I've never seen
and how to do it. That's what it's about. Okay.
How to do it. And that's what it's about. Yeah, that's the Course.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, I just feel people ask me to help them with this, and I just feel like I'd need a little help to kind of consolidate it in a very clear form to give forth. And
have you downloaded
it? I'm sorry,
what? Have you downloaded the reality management or forgiveness worksheet process from our website?
I did, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Cool. Mm-hmm. And then there are three radio shows under that section that will give the instructions for it. That will help to clarify the forgiveness process. And when you go to the Course, you'll see that the Course definition of forgiveness is the same. And the core of it happens in the canceling step, in step five. That's the core of forgiveness. And the Course, what the forgiveness defines, and it's precisely the same as the Aramaic teaching. But what it says is, and we could pick this up tomorrow if you'd like to continue the conversation, because it's an awesome one. What the Course says is, let go all the things you think you want, your trifling treasure put away, and leave a clean and open space within your mind. And that's what forgiveness does. It's got nothing to do with letting other people off the hook or letting yourself off the hook. What's happening. So if we want to continue this conversation tomorrow, call in at the beginning of the show. Let's continue it. Or maybe we've completed it, and that's cool. And we'll look forward to you bringing a stranger with you tomorrow for the show. And have the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye-bye.
thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.